does have it all. All of our pre-owned vehicles are Hubler Q certified, which include a 128-point vehicle inspection, a free Carfax vehicle history report, and two warranties. A two-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty, and a 30-day, 1,000-mile comprehensive warranty. Visit any of our 13 locations today, or click drivehubler.com. Hubler has it all.
Kevin and Querry on 93.5 and 107.5, The Fan.
Craig Rakestraw here in just a second. We were talking before the break about, you know, international students and, you know, being here on an educational visa and the NIL impact and the restrictions on that from someone that would be in the know on this. Said that it's just not specific to an NIL thing. It's more of a larger visa issue of just the inability to earn income, period. While in the States on an educational visa of, you know, if you just want to go get a job at some local fast food joint or something, you can if you're here on a work visa, but not on an education visa. So, again, we'll see if that gets cleared up at all, obviously from a general standpoint, but specifically to Zach Edey's case, if that impacts him returning at all to Purdue. All right, let's head to the Payless Liquors Hotline. Greg Rakestraw, ISC Sports Network, obviously a busy, busy man, and one of his many Christmas days will be tomorrow over at Gainbridge Fieldhouse for the boys' basketball state finals. Rake, I actually wanted to begin here. Micah Shrewsbury had a really cool story in explaining part of the reason why he took the Notre Dame job. He did an interview with, like, the Penn State local beat writer last night and showed him a video of the scene of Kokomo and Penn semi-state game from Saturday night. And it was, I think, Micah Shrewsbury kind of saying to this guy, like, it's just different here in Indiana. And if I ever had the opportunity to get back there at a major program, I was going to do it. And I thought that was pretty cool. Obviously, there's a lot of semi-state scenes that he could show. Penn having a Notre Dame commit, probably why he wanted to show the guy that. But just kind of a pretty cool angle to Micah Shrewsbury wanted to come home.
Yeah, and again, you've heard me say that I thought he was a candidate for that job, you know, from the jump. I thought he was a great hire for Notre Dame. And to me, part of the reason why I left Penn State was not what they could do financially, was not the resources they could put together. It's just historically, I mean, that was their first last week, their first NCAA tournament win in 22 years. But they have this great facility in the Bryce Jordan Center, and no one is ever there. And I realize that with winning comes more fans. But historically, you know, the Big Ten normally plays to full houses or close to full houses. That thing is never close to full. You also have to recruit to State College, Pennsylvania. It's beautiful, but it's not close to Philly. It's not close to Pittsburgh. It is the middle of nowhere. And so there are challenges in Notre Dame. Absolutely. But I think he's got a much better chance of being successful on a regular basis, which Mike Bray has proven you can do in South Bend, Indiana. So I thought he was a natural fit for it, and I'm very happy for Mike.
It's funny to me, Greg, because – and maybe it's just – this actually might be the era in which I grew up, but I still think of – even with – I mean, Mike Bray had success, as you mentioned. I mean, there were some really good – you know, hell, Notre Dame was the closest team to beating Kentucky when they – got to the Final Four undefeated. But I still think of Notre Dame as like a top probably 20 college basketball program historically. I'm not saying right now, but just historically. They've had great teams, great moments, great players, you know, legendary players in the game of basketball. It's just been a while, and it's not been consistent, and it's probably been in the shadows, even in their dominant eras, or their best eras by their standards of like DePaul and the same background and Indiana, obviously. But it does to me feel like a place that's kind of a sleeping giant.
Sure. And I mean, and again, let's talk about, you know, when you grew up, people have talked about Notre Dame and NBC for 30 years. People forget Notre Dame and NBC was a basketball connection before it was a football connection. And so from the mid 70s to say the mid 80s, you know, you would see Notre Dame play this national schedule. You would see them play every Saturday afternoon on your television. Again, you think of the cavalcade of stars they had from the start of the Digger Phelps era until about the mid-80s. Those are some really good basketball players. And while maybe Mike Bray was never able to capture that same star quality, because of during his tenure, they were in a conference the entire time. It made it easier for that program to go out and be successful. And again, the fact that he's able to take Notre Dame to back-to-back Elite Eights was something really impressive. And I think in the ACC, I think the ACC is in a period of transition. Let's face it, Duke was out in the second round. Coach K is no longer there. North Carolina was not an NCAA tournament team this year. Roy Williams is no longer there. They're great programs in the ACC, but you can get to the top of that league, I think, maybe a little more quickly than you could in years gone by. And I'm really curious, and you were talking about name, image, and likeness stuff. I'm very curious as to, I don't think NIL is going to be a problem at Notre Dame. Raising funds is not an issue there. And I don't think the transfer portal is going to be a problem because of think of how many transfers that Mike Bray has had over the years, and it's worked out pretty well for him there too. So given all those factors, you can put together a good team really quickly at Notre Dame, which is why, again, I expect Mike and Shrewsbury to be successful from the jump.
Kenny's great, Greg Straw, and that's just music to my ears. So thank you, Greg, for making me feel good on this Friday. ISC Sports Network, and obviously we'll get to the state finals here in just a second. But we had Kyle Nenrip on earlier this week, and I want to ask him, or I want to ask you a very similar question I asked him. Of, you know, you get deep in the tournament, Rake, and you do have local ties still in it. We saw John L. Davis interviewed last night, and I get he's from, you know, a pocket of the state we don't talk a ton about in Gary, or, you know, Jack Nungy later tonight from Evansville playing for Xavier, obviously Nigel Pack here locally with Miami. Any stories on any of those three? I feel like those are the main three from a local standpoint playing still left in the tournament.
Sure, and we talked about this thing last week with Jack. Given part of the reason why he is at Xavier, I am so happy for any success that that young man has in his career. I feel good for John L. Davis too, because I think John L. would be a much more known quantity in this state had he not been a senior in 2020, because his school, Gary 21st Century, which has now grown to a 2A school, was a 1A school when he played there. I firmly believe they would have been the state champs in 2020. And COVID hits, and that's the end of that. He also would have been an Indiana All-Star. He was an Indiana All-Star, so didn't have a chance to play. And so he would have been a much more known commodity in this state had those couple of things not happened. So I'm happy for the success that he has had. And, you know, I had the pleasure of watching Nigel play a lot his junior and senior years at Lawrence Central. And I always thought that, you know, he should have been maybe even more in the Mr. Basketball discussion. His senior went to Anthony Leal. It was really down to Leal and Tony Perkins, seemingly, as to who was going to get that nod. And again, he was 2020, so he was on the team, didn't get a chance to play on the Indiana All-Star team. But I sit here and watch Nigel, and I think about the talent that was on that LC team. And if you go back a year earlier, you've got Jake LaRavia, first-round draft pick, Tay Davis, Dre Davis, both playing at Seton Hall, and Nigel Pack now playing in the ACC after playing at Kansas State, who is now in the Elite Eight as well. So, but I have always been thoroughly impressed with Nigel Pack's game.
Greg, shifting gears to this weekend and high school basketball. High school, I know, is on your mind because I saw that you had I don't know if it was impromptu high school reunion, but got together. You guys went to you grew up in Lanesville, Indiana, right?
That is correct, sir. Yes.
So that's down near New Albany, Louisville area, correct?
Correct. That is equidistant, to use a big old fancy word that wouldn't be used in Lanesville. Between Cordon and New Albany is where Lanesville is located.
Okay, and so you have of your graduating class of six. One of them lives in Cincinnati or something. And so you guys got together, I guess, in Greensburg. Is that right? Or Batesville?
In Greensburg. I made Brian drive a little bit more. And my graduating class was not six. It was almost five times more than six.
Ooh.
Almost. It was 29. Brian and I were in the same class. Rachel in that picture was 2 years behind us. And then Steve, who you could tell was a pretty good doubles player because of his height, he was in the class between the two of us. He was a year behind us.
You need a couple boosts at La Rosa's in Batesville then, right?
What's that?
You need a couple boosts. Oh, Greensburg.
They went to go see the tree in the corner.
Maybe there's a La Rosa's in Greensburg too.
There is not, and that is the way of telling that you are really in Cincinnati and not in Indianapolis anymore, is the fact that the two first restaurants you see at the Batesville exit 149 are La Rosa's and Skyline. That's the official gateway to Cincinnati. Those two things don't exist in Greensburg. Greensburg, hence, still a part of Indianapolis.
Ray, from the high school standpoint, I probably should have asked you this earlier this year. I always get confused by it. Badunga or Badunga?
Badunga. We said Badunga last year and took Flory, kind of like Bobby Okereke or Antoine Bethea, a year to correct us. Badunga.
Okay, so Flory Badunga. Two-part question, I guess. The first one would be, we were just discussing like the NIL stuff in terms of, because he is here, obviously he didn't grow up in the United States, he's from the Congo. Does any of that get complicated in terms of his recruiting? And then number two, is it possible this is the last chance you're going to see him play for Kokomo High School?
No, on the second one, I think he's staying. And again, he is attached to a family in the Adams family that is very well connected in terms of AAU circles. Exactly. I figured there would be a finger snap coming in at some point in time.
I don't think
is involved in his in his recruitment. He's going to stay. And let's face it, so many kids, you know, go the AAU or I should say the prep program route, or almost like this national level of high school, you know, originally Oak Hill, Montverde, IMG, La Lumiere, et cetera, because they feel they need to up their recruitment. Well, every coach known to man has flown to Kokomo to watch him play at some point in time this year. So there is nothing from a recruiting standpoint I think he would gain by doing that. His head coach in John Peckinpah was a former college coach, you know, was an assistant coach at IPFW, was a head coach at the Division II level. You know, he's less than 15 years removed from being a college basketball player. He gets a very good level of coaching at Kokomo High School. There may not be that great of talent around him next year, because a lot of senior kids that are really probably more football players in terms of what their future is going to be than basketball players. So the roster might look a little different next year, but I think his family values, as well they should, the absolute, you know, trying to think of the best way to phrase this, the reverence that he and Kokomo basketball have been held in since he came to town 2 years ago. I mean, think of, you use the example of showing the crowds between Kokomo and Penn for the semi-state. That's Kokomo every game at this point. You know, I'm curious next year if we start to get to like Damon Bailey territory in terms of teams that are hosting Kokomo says, you know what? Our gym seats 4,000. Let's find a gym that seats 7,000 or 8,000, because we can have 7,000 or 8,000 tickets. That is the level of interest in watching this young man and that team play. So I think for a lot of reasons, that kid's staying in Kokomo.
Are they more than just Flory in terms of this matchup with undefeated Ben Davis, or is it literally Ben Davis, which interestingly enough is, I think, a really balanced team, taking on one really unstoppable guy and four complementary pieces? I mean that as no slight to the rest of the roster for Kokomo. I just don't know how they're constructed, and so thus my question.
They will play about a 7 or 8 man rotation. They've got Zion Bellamy, Reese Beard, Shane Spear, Patrick Hartman, Carson Rogers, and again, most of those kids, like for example, it was a little bit of a struggle out of the gate for Kokomo. They lost to Westfield, who was a good team, not a great team this year. Lost to Westfield in game number one, in part because Kokomo made the football semi-state in 4A this past year, and which meant they were playing basically up until the weekend before the first game. A lot of their kids are football kids. They had 5 practices before they then played Westfield in game number one. So, again, they've got good athletes, good solid high school basketball players, none of the other big-time recruits. You know, this is not like Ben Davis, who of their 4 senior starters, 2 are playing Division I basketball next year, 2 are playing Division II basketball next year. Another starter is going to be either a D1 football or basketball player in a couple of years, and there's likely a Division I player or two that are coming off the bench for Ben Davis because they're underclassmen. That's not the case for Kokomo. Now, they've got a couple of kids that will play college football next year, one at Findlay and Shane Spear. Another one's going to play at Manchester at the Division III level. They have another senior that's deciding whether I'm playing baseball or basketball. So they're a good team. But Ben Davis, 1 through 5, is more talented than Kokomo is. But if you're asking for by far the highest level national recruit in that game. It's Florey Badunga.
Again, Greg Rakestraw is with us. He'll be over at Gainbridge Fieldhouse, I believe 3A and 4A on the rake plate coming up tomorrow night. Boy, every time I think of John Peckinpah rake, I think of him wrestling Greg Oden in the post.
Right.
As Muncy, or him rocking the helmet that he had at IPFW. Let's go to the 3A game. One of my favorite humans, Bobby Allen, coaching Garen. They have had a kind of a, I would say a bit of an odd season of like, you got to the tournament. I don't know if anyone called them necessarily a favorite. And then, Rake, you look at their scores here throughout the tournament. I think every win is by double figures. Yep. Thoughts on the 3A matchup between Northwood and Garen?
So Garen Catholic is part of kind of the one of the most open halves of the bracket I have ever seen, because there was no favorite in 3A South. You know, so much of the conversation was about North Davies, who had went from 1A to 2A on enrollment, and then said, you know what, we'll bump to 3A, and we'll play at the 3A level. And it was, okay, could they pull this off? And they got beat by Scottsburg in the morning game in the semi-state. Garen, in their two sectional games, beat conference rivals in Brebeuf and Chittard that beat them during the course of the regular season. And yes, they have won every game by double digits. All those games have been between kind of 12 and 16 points. They were up by 22 in the semi-state final against Scottsburg. They also had a game rained out. They had a rain delay. There was a leaky roof on sectional Friday night at Short Ridge. They had to come back and play the last 3 minutes of the game the next night and kind of got through that hurdle too. In terms of the matchup, they are a big and physical team, which is good because Northwood has really good size and they're a really experienced team. And they've got a couple of kids that are playing basketball in the Crossroads League next year, maybe a Division I young man in Tyler Rush, who is a 6'8 sophomore. So Northwood's not very deep, but the five or six kids that play are all really good, and they have consistently been the best team outside of 4A this year. So I think Garen can match him from a physicality standpoint. I expect a low-scoring half-court game between those two tomorrow night in 3A.
Did I hear you correctly in Bobby Allen in 3A at Cathedral and Don Carlisle in 4A at Ben Davis? They, if they win their respective state titles coming up Saturday night, they'd be just one of like four or five individuals in the state history to win as a player and as a coach a state title?
That is correct. The last one to pull it off was Pete Turgovich, 1971 player, East Chicago, Washington, 2007 East Chicago Central. Burl Friddle of Franklin Wonder Five fame was the first guy to do it, playing for Franklin, coached at Washington, won a state championship elsewhere as well. There have been four. Bobby Allen would be five. Don Carlisle then would be five or six, depending on what happens in the 3A game.
Isn't there some...
That's pretty cool.
Isn't there like a weird quirk there, Greg, where East Chicago Central was... Like East Chicago Washington joined with others to become
sure.
East Chicago Central. Is that correct?
Correct. So what you're referring to is Don Carlisle would technically be the first person to do it at his alma mater. In other words, all those four previous people to do that were a player at one school and coach at another. The asterisk slash technicality is Pete Turgovich is at East Chicago Washington. That school merged in the 80s with East Chicago Central. So technically it's not the same school.
Gotcha.
But it is the same school.
Yeah, it's kind of like Anderson, right? I mean, Madison Heights and Anderson and Anderson Highland and how that's all kind of merged together, yeah.
Correct, absolutely.
Rick, before we let you go, it's more of just kind of an astonishing thing when I looked at it. So Ben Davis, they win on Saturday. They go undefeated. That would just be the second undefeated state title team we've had since 2009.
I believe so. We had a run of those in like the early 2000s. But yes, Warren Central 32-0, Ben Davis 33-0, and it would be the second most wins in an undefeated season. Actually, I'm sorry, it'd be the most wins in an undefeated season in the history of Indiana high school basketball, and it would be the second most wins ever in an Indiana high school basketball season.
God, that's crazy to me. Like you didn't have a Class A or 2A team go undefeated in the last 13 years. And that Warren team, of course, was the team that beat Romeo.
Yeah, I think part of it is, too, is that I think what you now have is that the teams that are really good in 1A, 2A, and 3A that have an idea of, hey, we have a chance to get to the state finals, I think the idea is, hey, let's go, let's find a way to get some bigger teams in our schedule.
Sure.
let's go play in these showcase events, or we're playing in the Hall of Fame Classic, whatever the case may be, I think those schools have really upped their schedule. So I'm sure you've got the list in front of you. You feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. But I think the only 1A, 2A, 3A teams that have finished undefeated, I think, is Lewis Cass in 03 with Bo Bauer, and then Waldron with the Barnard Twins in 04. I think the other teams that have gone undefeated have all been in the 4A ranks. Off the top of my head, I believe that's the case.
Yeah, let me give me just one sec. I can find it. Addicts 56. Yeah, you got to go way back.
Started in 1998.
Rick, here we go while we're at it.
You had 03 Pike, 03 Lewis Cass, 04 Waldron, 06 LN, 09 Bloomington South, and Princeton that year. And
yeah, then, that's right. Yep, yep.
And then since that year, just 2018, Warren, obviously the iconic semi-state game, beating Romeo Langford and company.
So, Greg, that Waldron team you just mentioned was coached by Jason Delaney, who then later went on and won with Trey Lyles and Tech, then won with Cathedral, right?
Correct.
So, you know, Bill Green jumps to mind as somebody who has won at multiple schools. Is three the most for any one coach?
Yes. And Jason is the only person that has done that. Correct.
It's pretty impressive. Not only three schools, three classes, right?
Two classes, because Tech and Cathedral both 4A.
Okay, but there you go.
Yes. Done it in 1A and 4A, absolutely.
Pretty impressive.
Rake TV, right? 3A, 4A tomorrow for you?
That is correct. So, again, the 3A game, for those of you who want to watch Garen Catholic and Northwood, you got to find Bally Sports Extra, the Bally Sports app, or go to ihsatv.org, because the Pacers play a kind of a weird time tomorrow. They play at 5, but because they play at 5, that allows us to put the 4A game back on the Bally Sports Indiana main channel. So
okay.
I would imagine at some point in time in the 3A postgame or in the 4A or your preamble, I'm able to say, we welcome those of you joining us now for the Pacers game on Bally Sports Indiana.
Actually, probably works out pretty well, considering the anticipation with that 4A game coming up tomorrow night. Rake, have a great call, and thank you for all the insight this morning.
Of course, fellas. Take care, buddy.
That's a great Greg Rakestraw. You heard him earlier this week in noon to 3 as well, and he's got the 3A and the 4A games. For those curious, the morning session tomorrow over at Gainbridge Fieldhouse, things will get underway with the Class A matchup. That is 15-12 Southwood taking on Lutheran. The 2A game, Blackhawk Christian, their head coach, Matt Roth.
You're out here hustling, but you're also using the McDonald's app to have your favorites delivered to your door. That's hustling smarter. Order McDelivery in the McDonald's app at participating McDonald's. One morning, you just walk in with a bag of everyone's faves from McDonald's, drop it on the counter, and say, breakfast is on me. Boom! That's the power of saving money on the McDonald's app. Hope you can handle all that. Save money with the app. At participating McDonald's, must opt into rewards.
It's Kevin and Querry on 93.5 and 107.5. The Fan.
Jake, our next guest, my first period comp teacher at Cathedral High School. Easily one of the finest educators I've ever come across. Still have not forgiven him for a runner-up finish in the Knightstown golf outing at Royal Highlands, the Augusta National of Eastern Indiana. That had to be a half dozen years ago. But more importantly, he's on the show because tomorrow night he is coaching the Garen Catholic, I think Golden Eagles, does that sound right? I believe so. In the 3A state championship game, and is looking to become the fifth person in state history to win a state title as a player and as a coach. He is Bobby Allen, and he joins us now. I guess I got to call you Coach because this is like an official sports show. Coach, congrats. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing? That was an amazing introduction there. I appreciate that. I will tell you that Knightstown championship is still under review, so don't give up hope on that.
Yeah, I feel like you're still at the scores table. I feel like I'm watching a college basketball game. You've gone there about 6 times. You're talking to the locals, and I don't think we're ever going to get that trophy. Having said that, hopefully a blue medal for you tomorrow night. We talked earlier in the show with Greg Rakestraw. It's been quite the tournament run for you guys. I know probably all the games haven't felt like double-digit margins to you, but when the tournament started, you think this was possible to be playing here in the final Saturday in March?
Wow. We always believed that we had the talent to make a run. But we went through some ups and downs throughout the season where we kept questioning what we were doing. I mean, we changed our offense 3 or 4 times just trying to figure out the right combination. And I'll tell you what, we won 8 straight games now, and the guys have figured out what their role is. And the most entertaining part, I think, for me and our coaching staff right now is that we can still get better. And that has kept everyone fully dialed in to what we're doing every day in practice right now.
You know, this might kind of, to parlay off that, you might have just kind of answered this question, Coach, but you're interesting in terms of your career to me because you've coached, you know, in private schools, you've coached in a township school, you've coached in a small town school in Knightstown. I mean, Knightstown, LC, if I'm not mistaken. Obviously now at Garin, you've been a couple of different places, Cathedral, obviously, as Kevin mentioned, in different roles. Does the game, in terms of the coaching and the X's and O's of it, is it dictated by and the style of play changed by the size of the school and the area of the school? Or, in fact, is basketball just basketball and you teach the same thing no matter where you are?
I like to think that basketball is basketball. But, you know, of course, you deal with the talent you have and you make adjustments based on the players you have and what they can do. But, I mean, when I was younger, I was JV coach at Cathedral. I mean, I thought I could outcoach anybody. It didn't matter who I have. I thought I could go out there and do whatever I did. And I just thought I could outwork people and outcoach them and get wins that way. But when I went to Knightstown, I was 27 years old, and I learned real quick by some veteran coaches that I did not know what I was doing yet. But, you know, I think obviously some of the bigger schools have, you know, they have amazing talent, but the guys that we have on our team right now, I would take them up against anybody right now. I'll either go down with them or I'll celebrate with them in the end.
He's Bobby Allen again. 3A state finals coming up tomorrow night. That will be Garin against Northwood over at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. Coach, obviously you have fond memories from your playing days in the state championship, slightly different venue. Curious, again, I know the venue is different, but walking into Gainbridge Fieldhouse yesterday for practice, or, you know, any recollections, any memories to thinking back to when you guys won it all back at Cathedral?
When I was a junior that year in 98, we actually had our 25-year anniversary. Rakestraw was the MC the other night at the IHSA Hall of Fame banquet. Being around former players and former coaches, man, it's like it's like it happened yesterday. One of the things I do remember, though, the RC8 on the locker rooms were just so far away. They gave us like an extra 10 minutes on top of the original 10 minutes just to run to our locker room back at the RC8, and that's when they cut it in half and they had the big curtain up. But, you know, yesterday we got off the bus. We had practice at 9 a.m. All the boys were huddled up. We got the instructions on what to do. I was able to take my youngest boy, Everett, with me there. And the phones were out. Pictures were taken. Guys were looking up to the rafters. And we took it all in for the first part of the morning yesterday. But we talked in the locker room before we took the court yesterday, and we had a 55-minute practice that was one of the most intense focused practices that we've had all year.
For those that haven't seen you guys play, describe the style that they're going to see tomorrow night.
You know, we're going to do our best to control the tempo tomorrow night. We want to run. We want to get out and run, move the ball in transition, but that's keyed by our defense. And our guys know they want to play that way. And we kind of made an agreement early on. I said, look, if you guys can get a stop, you guys can go do whatever you want. And they've embraced that. We gave up 11 points in the semi-state championship game to a really, really good Scottsburg team the other day. But they got stops, and they went out and they ran, and it helped us build a significant lead there in the first half. But you'll also see when, you know, I probably won't be taking timeouts if they hit a big three or they hit a couple shots, because our guys are able to control the tempo as far as working the ball when we have to, getting touches, finding where the weakness is in the defense, and then taking a great shot that way. So we can kind of play, you know, at two different levels, which I think that's what makes us dangerous right now.
So if I'd have told you in November this was going to be your mid-March schedule, late March, what would you have said to me?
I would have said this conversation probably wouldn't be happening on the radio right now, and I'd probably be on the beach in Florida on spring break.
But you'll take this over the beach, right?
Yeah, I will. That's coming soon here. We've rescheduled that. But no, we felt we had the talent to do this stuff. But, I mean, we're 20-8 right now. We were 12-8, and it was a point in the season where we're like, man, are we just going to be able to finish with a winning record this year? And, you know, the guys stayed the course. We have multiple guys who can hurt our opponent. We have three guards right now, Jack Cherry, Rob Sorensen, Kamea Chandler. They're absolutely unbelievable. And if one of them gets taken out, then the other two are going to step up. And then junior Dylan Moranz is probably going to be one of the most athletic kids on the court who can score in bunches. And then sophomore Bryson Cardinal, who started JV for the first eight games of the season, we inserted him in the starting lineup. And his IQ and his energy has taken this whole group to another level.
And with that, when you have a player, I would think sometimes, Coach, you know, that I could see why intimidating is the wrong word. Bobby Allen's our guest, by the way, the head coach at Garen Catholic. When you have a player whose father played as Cardinals did, you know, at the big time Division I level and in the NBA, what's that dynamic like in the fact that, you know, do the parents get hands on or do they kind of understand? Has Brian Cardinal been like, hey, you're the coach, I get it? He seems like he'd be that kind of guy, but, you know, what's that dynamic like?
Our parents are incredible. They fully understand what we're trying to do, and they support our coaching staff. But you know, I don't know everything there is to know about basketball. But I think that they see, you know, from our coaching staff, our passion and our love for all these kids, and they trust us, which is important, I think. But no, I mean, they're incredible. He lets us, and all of them, they let us do our job, and it obviously helps when you're winning a little bit, makes you look like you're making the right calls. But it's fun to see people like Brian and some of our other parents who just are incredibly successful human beings. It's fun to see them in the stands supporting what we're doing right now.
Bobby, we'll end with this, and we are, I guess we got about a minute or two left, but I know two people that have been instrumental in your coaching career, Linda Bamrick and the great late, unfortunately late, Rich Andrill. Just what did you learn from those state champion coaches that you've tried to apply to accomplishing that tomorrow night?
They've both been there. They've both been in state finals. They've both been in tough situations where things aren't going their way. Just the ability to pivot and stay the course and really stay focused on the kids and getting them in the right place at the right time, you know, doing the right things. Obviously, Linda Bamrick is my aunt. Just been incredible to have her and my whole family involved in all of this. I mean, my parents have been at every game. They're the biggest fans that I think we have. My wife, my kids, all their fans. My wife's going to be sitting with a whole crew of people in the stands tomorrow. It's fun to look in the audience and see all those people supporting you and knowing that you're doing things the right way.
See a purple and gold inside of Gainbridge Fieldhouse tomorrow night. Still not over the Knightstown outing. We'll never be over it, to be honest with you. Bobby Allen, thank you for everything comp-wise, and I'm rooting for you tomorrow.
Thank you guys so much. We can't wait for tomorrow.
It's Coach Bobby Allen right there on the Payless Liquors hotline. Again, Garen and Northwood at 3A. And Jake, that 4A game, boy, I know we can be prisoners of the moment. I can't recall a 4A game with this type of anticipation for an individual player in a town like Kokomo and an undefeated team in Ben Davis in quite some time.
Yeah, I think I'm really fascinated by the Ben Davis. Not to take anything away from the kids of Kokomo outside of Flory Badunga, but he is so good and so dominant. You know, it kind of reminds me of like when Sean Kemp's Elkhart Concord team, which was a really good team. I mean, they had Jamar Johnson that had a great career at Nebraska, but that Muncie Central team was so good. And, you know, obviously had Chandler Thompson as well. There was a lot of talent in both areas, but you had such one dominant player that focus was on that. And then Muncie Central as a team, it being the one that end up winning it. So I'm curious to see what happens to that. Ben Davis going for the undefeated season, Flory going for the dynamics of it. It's going to be fun to watch.
Southwood and Lutheran, the Class A, Blackhawk Christian and Lytton in 2A. We'll have all those games, and we'll recap all of it, plus the Final Four will be here coming up on Monday. Everybody have a great weekend. Talk to you then.